Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Wherever you are, I hope you're having a fabulous summer day. We've got a topic today that is just, I think, perfect for this time of the year. When you want to relax, when you want to be able to be out of doors, and you really, really feel like your creativity bug is really going a mile a minute. Well, our guest today, Nancy Monson, is going to be talking about how to work with crafts, how to work with art, but in a different perspective, in a perspective that enables someone to heal, to be able to use crafts in a way and manner that's going to empower them and also enable one to create something that is a work of art in their own way. Nancy Monson, welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. Thanks so much for having me on. I love talking about this.
Well, I know you do, and you are a nationally published freelance writer. Let's talk about that for a bit, because part of your writing involves crafts, health, nutrition, physical fitness, psychology. Now, they all weave together very nicely, but how did you become a writer, a freelance writer? What got you started in that?
Oh, well, yeah, I agree with you. They all do weave together well. I went to school to Boston University, and I got a degree in communications, and I actually fell into medical writing, and then I decided I would like to also write, talk about medicine so that consumers could understand it. And on the other side of my life, I was also always very crafty. I really like to do quilting, and currently I'm doing mixed media collages and all sorts of things like that. And I started thinking, particularly when I went through a divorce, how therapeutic my crafts were for me. They really helped distract me from, you know, my feelings, but they also allowed me to explore my feelings. And I started to research it. I found a little bit of scientific study about it. I talked to other people, and as soon as I started talking to other people, they were like, oh, yes, you know, I find my craft to be therapeutic, too, and to give me mental benefits, physical benefits, spiritual benefits. So I knew I was onto something because other people really grabbed onto it, too.
I agree. Now, Diane Erickson, who is a fabric artist in California, she's also a teacher and a pattern designer, she said crafts are a way of valuing yourself and giving to yourself. They allow you to express what's inside. And I really think that that's so true. And right at the beginning of your book, you mention how therapeutic using texture, using color, any formula that feels comfortable for an individual enables them to connect to that part of themselves. It allows them to detach from what isn't working and to be attached to what is working for them and sort of allows them to go into that creative zone. When you started in this, because you've been a crafter for years, what was your favorite aspect of crafting that you just dearly, dearly loved?
I like a lot of different aspects of it. I really love the materials. I love fingering the fabric and touching it. I love the colors of the fabric. And I really get a kick out of bringing something into being out of nothing that's a reflection of me. And that's what really draws me to it. It feels good. It's fun while I'm doing it. And then I get a product that is a reflection of me. And I think that's why people like to do crafts, but they also might not always do it in the most therapeutic way. And I know I certainly have that problem, too. Maybe I judge what I do too harshly, or I compare myself to other people, or I focus on just getting to the end game, you know, to the finish line, instead of enjoying the process. And Diane Erickson says, she's a fabulous woman, great person to talk to, and she says, you know, once the project's done, the fun is gone, you know? The fun is in the doing. So you want to focus on the process, not just the product.
I agree. In fact, I'll share a personal story with you. When I was a young girl, there was a physician that I knew quite well. His name was Dr. Bloom, and he was one of the finest people I've ever known. And this was a man that ended up having a heart attack. So he was very, very gifted, and his doctor said to him, Dr. Bloom, you need to get a hobby. Well, he had been so dedicated to his medical profession, he said, a hobby? What am I supposed to do? He said, well, try sculpting. You know, he just threw out all kinds of things. Just try sculpting, do some pottery, do something. And he thought, oh, yeah, sure. Well, actually, he found when he got involved with it that it was so therapeutic. He just absolutely loved it. He ended up sculpting and doing clay work, that type of thing. But then he started getting very agitated, and a friend of his came over one day and said, you know what? You need to be aware of something. He said, you're getting agitated because you finished a project. He said, you need to have more than one in progress so that when you've got one finished, then you've got this other you got to take care of too. As soon as he did that, and he was just one of these, he was sort of like a multitasker, I guess that's how you'd put it. And he just said, after that, I never had the stress because I would get so upset over the fact that I had finished something. And that's interesting. You wouldn't think that would be the case, but it was. So he found that if he kept more than one job in the queue, then once he finished the one, he'd be on to the other. And they just disappeared right and left because people loved what he did. But it was a fascinating story to me, and one that I think is a very valid one when it comes to crafts. And women really are inclined to this. Guys do a lot of it. I've noticed a lot of guys doing crafting like with wood. They enjoy that. They don't seem, unless they're into the tailor business or they're in designing dresses or something like this, they don't seem to get into the fabric stuff too often, but they do like the carving and this type of thing. How big a business is crafting?
Oh, it's a billion-dollar industry, and it's interesting that during the recession, it was down as an industry less than other industries because people really kind of need it. It's something that's not expensive to do oftentimes, and it's very fulfilling. What I just wanted to comment on your story about that doctor that you knew, and I think that oftentimes when you find a craft that you really, really enjoy or a hobby, whether it's photography or ceramics or woodworking or sewing or scrapbooking, you find that you have more projects that you want to do than, and the enthusiasm just boils over. So it's a great thing to find what you really want to do, make time for it, and then proceed to go ahead and do it. And that's also how you progress as an artist, if you're interested in doing that, is by doing things repetitively, maybe doing things in a series. The other thing, one thing about ceramics that's interesting and other kind of repetitive and rhythmic crafts is that they have been scientifically shown to, by extension, they've been shown to actually be quite healing. There's a Harvard professor, Herbert Benson, who came up with this concept which he called the relaxation response, and that's a feeling of bodily and mental calm that he showed can actually reduce blood pressure, can reduce heart rate and all these other measures of stress, and could be very good for your health. And you can induce that by repeating the same word over and over again and doing muscle relaxation and just pushing distracting things away. And you can also do it by repeating an activity. So ceramics, sewing, quilting, knitting, things like that can also induce this relaxation response. It's really fascinating.
Well, I think it does. And what it is, you, when you're doing crafts, when you're doing knitting or crocheting or pottery work, you really cannot focus on how your bills are or anything else while you're doing it, because if you're doing a clay pot and you think, oh my Lord, I've got $25,000 that I've got in debt, what am I going to do with it? All of a sudden, your whole thing collapses in front of you.
Because
you've got to keep your focus, and that's what it is. And that is one of the greatest tools, I think, that we can possibly utilize, because so many women, especially, want to do something with their hands. It drives them nuts just to sit. I know it does me. But that, and I've got a number of friends that say, I just can't sit in front of television. My husband wants me to sit there with him and watch these movies, and I just go, I'm going to go nuts. because I've got this to do, that to do, the other to do.
Oh, thank you for saying that. I always thought I was crazy because I couldn't sit still. That was nice of you.
I think it is common. I really think it's common. And the guys just seem to be able to zone out in front of the boob tube, as it's called. And I'll tell you, it really is maddening. And by golly, I've got more than one friend that says, I've got to have my knitting, I have to have my stitching. I think it's just something that women often are ingrained with, just to sit and be a zombie and not have something productive going on just really isn't good. And so this is a marvelous, marvelous thing to do, to be able to do crafts. Now, one of the points you bring out in your book, Craft to Heal, you say, too many times we want to be the perfectionist of the world.
Mm.
And I loved how you put this. You said, screwing up was just a way of discovering something new.
Right.
And I think, woohoo, why don't we talk about that a little bit? Because it's so true.
Yeah, well, I'm a little bit type A, you know, perfectionistic, and I also compare myself to other people and their work, and I'm really, really trying not to do that because that is just the antithesis of therapeutic. It's not good for you to be that way. Yeah, you want to do good work, but there is a point where you just want to really enjoy what you're doing. So I think it's important to be self-compassionate. I just read this great book by a psychologist down at the University of Texas. Her name is Kristen Neff, and it's called Self-Compassion. And it's all about, instead of trying to be number one and the best, and there, which just sets you up for failure because there's always going to be someone who's better than you or more successful, who is more attractive, whatever. If you're comparing yourself to other people, you're setting yourself up to lose. Instead, when something you're making doesn't come out exactly as you like, be self-compassionate and say, I'm a human being and I'm on a creative journey here. Accept that maybe you're a beginner or an intermediate or, you know, wherever you are on this so-called creative journey, and just be happy about that and be kind to yourself. So I love that concept of self-compassion. I think that we can really bring that into the realm of crafts, and it can help us a lot to not judge what we're doing, but to enjoy it.
You put together a quilt. You called it your divorce quilt through
me. Yeah.
And I love that. I thought that is wonderful. You've got a number of photos in here that show different types of items that you have put together. And the divorce quilt through the ringer, man, it was really unique. It looks almost like a huge kite with multi-levels of fabric design to it. It's just absolutely dynamic. What a wonderful way to put something together and just say, I'm just going to do this. I really don't care, like you just said, whether or not it's going to win the first prize at the fair, the county fair. What I want to do is use this and just do what I feel like doing. And you did something extremely creative with this.
Yeah, well, you know, that happened as I was working on it because it started out as an exercise, and it was around the time I was going through a divorce about 10 years ago, and I kept working on it and working on it hours and hours, and then I finished it, and I thought, oh, my God, this is a mess. You know, this is horrible, and I was going to cut it up, but I could not bring myself to do that, so I folded it instead, so it developed that kite shape that you talked about, and then I realized it looked like it had been through one of those old-fashioned handheld washing, you know,
ringers?
Machines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a ringer, exactly, or a drying machine, I guess it would be. And so I realized that I was working through some of my feelings about my divorce. So I didn't realize that until afterwards. But it was interesting. I got the courage to put that into my Quilting Guild show. And people reacted to it in a very strong way. I mean, partially they reacted to the name of the quilt, but also to the quilt itself because it was very dynamic. And whether you like it or not, and I'm not sure I do, it really does kind of speak to you. So It was very therapeutic for me, and that was kind of the beginning of my journey to write my book and talk to people. And since I wrote my book, there's been, I just updated it actually very recently. It just came out this month, a new edition, and there's some new research in there, which was really heartening. When I wrote the book in 2005, there was very, very little research about crafts. There had been one study in the Journal of the American Medical Association's journal that showed that sewing could be quite therapeutic and could be stress-reducing. But that was pretty much it. And since that time, there have been a few people who have shown there are other benefits. It can distract you from chronic pain for mm-hmm. people with kind of debilitating illnesses like multiple sclerosis or chronic fatigue syndrome. It can be very distracting. It can give them something to do while when they're not able to do the things that they used to be able to do, and it gives them a feeling of self-esteem. It can be used by people who are have mental illness, even like schizophrenia. They're being treated with craft therapies because it calms them and it helps them socialize with other people. So I'm really excited that this whole concept is being embraced, and I'm really happy that there's research.
Well, I think there is quite a bit of research. In fact, I know there is. I just don't think it. Because one of the things, if someone is involved in therapy work or you've been around children, one of the most significant tools you can use are crayons and a piece of paper and or
Absolutely.
Paint or what have you. Because how someone will pick colors, what they choose, how they work with it, really tells volumes. And so frequently when people go through a lot of stress or if they're depressed, having color to work with actually helps to make changes in the brain. And mm-hmm. you have a section in your book on, let me just share a comment that's in there. It was by psychologist Ethel Roski. She said, people think they should be able to handle great amounts of stress and be able to shrug it off, but it's the dripping tap that drives you crazy, not
right.
the blood. And
mm-hmm.
boy, she's right. I think of a very good friend of mine who is dealing with two people in her life in her home that are very ill. And every single day she is dealing with upheavals. And the stress factor on her has just been incredible. And this is not just something, it's been a couple of years. She went through it with an older member of her family, her mother. She had her in her care for 6 years, and then she ends up with two other people in her life that are in the household that are very, very ill. So as she said to me, I just haven't had a break. So when you have something that allows you to detach, that allows you to go into that part of yourself that is centered, part of that self that can be at peace. This is marvelous. Some people like to use writing, but I think working with the hands, and writing does that if you're doing it longhand, not if you're doing it
yes.
on the computer. But
yes.
it is. It's working with the hands. There is that
mm-hmm.
fact. That's what people, when they garden, that's the same thing that affects them. They get out there if they're angry or upset. I can't tell you how many people through the years have said that to me. I can be
mm-hmm.
so agitated. I can be crying. I can go through all kinds of emotions. And when I'm out in my garden, I put my hands in the dirt, then I'm happy. The same thing when you're doing crafts. You're using your hands. You're having to focus on something other than yourself and what's going on around you.
Right. I agree completely. And when we're talking about creativity, there are so many different ways that we use our creativity that we may not be aware of. Gardening, cooking, these traditional crafts that we've been talking about, the higher forms of art, but also problem solving at work is a form of creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very important attribute of employees now. People really, when they're going for a job, they're being asked questions about how creative they are and how good they are at problem solving. The other thing I wanted to mention is an art therapist had told me that actually research reveals that the primary language of the brain is in images. So we get perceptions of images and then convert them into words. So that's really powerful, what you were talking about before, about getting children to draw something with crayons and work with color. We think in images before we think in words. So it's very mm-hmm. primal in a way.
You have a wonderful story in here about a woman by the name of Judy Cohen. Mm-hmm. And she's in Plymouth, Vermont. And she
right.
is a former coat designer.
And she right, from New York, York City.
Right. Mm-hmm. Tell us her story. She's just a lovely lady.
Yes, she is. She's a friend of mine, and she's very, very talented. And she is a quilter as well. And so after 9/11, she was so upset about everything, and she started to make a quilt to express her feelings about what happened and how unsafe she felt, even all the way up there in Vermont, so far away from New York City. And she found that it was very therapeutic for her. The quilt gave her a place to put her emotions when she felt very unsafe. So it was really a wonderful vehicle for exploring her emotions, just like my divorce quilt had been for me.
Mm-hmm. And I think that is significant. That is something that we often don't feel we should be doing, because in many people's minds, oh, that's so frivolous. Why are you doing
mm-hmm.
that? If it's not practical, if you can't put a value to it, it's a waste of your time. And
well, it is practical.
It is practical.
Yeah.
And it is something that when you can shift into a modality with crafts, gardening, whatever it is that you want to do, it really, in my view, feeds you. It gives you a nourishment that you could not possibly get from a piece of chocolate cake. I mean, it is something
yeah.
that is, and you don't have
yeah.
the calories to boot. But it's
right, right.
really, really nourishes you. And I think what's even nicer is when people can get together. I'll tell you, at the Puyallup
mm-hmm.
Fair, which is the number four fair in the United States here in the Pacific Northwest. It's held in the city of Puyallup, obviously, but I just absolutely love going into the building that they call the Pavilion. And this is loaded, loaded every year with the most phenomenal skill and artistry of men and women both, but primarily women. And
mm-hmm.
they started bringing in every year the quilters. And they set
oh,
up this
great.
Huge quilting square. And these women come in, they're doing volunteering their time, and you have a chance just to sit and chat with them. And they are just chatting a mile a minute, and they're just little tiny stitches, and they're doing all of this stuff. They are having a wonderful time. They're not worrying about the dishes. They're not worrying about a clock. They're just there. It's this fellowship of sharing.
Right,
that I
right.
think creative people, anyone, can have. It's marvelous. It's so absolutely
yeah.
marvelous.
It really is. I love the social aspect of it, and I think that's really important for our health. There's research that shows that we really are social beings. We need to connect with other people to feel good, to reduce depression. As we age, there have been studies that show that the people who are most creatively engaged actually go to the doctor less, need less medication, and are healthier overall. So these things are really important. And when you talk about, we were talking about it being a practical kind of thing, and people say, well, I don't have time for this. It's too indulgent and self-indulgent. Well, you kind of have to think of it as something that you're doing for yourself. If you recognize that it has therapeutic benefits for you, and you would do another kind of stress-reducing activity, like they tell you to do meditation or the relaxation response or these other kinds of stress-reducing activities for 20 minutes a day, well, the same could hold true for performing a craft, and it could be for your health. You just have to kind of reframe it in your mind and view your craft as if it were even a medication that you need to take every day to get the most benefit. And then you'll do it. You know, you'll allow yourself to do it. It's also great for women to show their children that they are taking time to nourish themselves and explore their creativity. That's a great way to role model self-nurturing and self-care, don't you think?
Well, I think so. I also think
yeah.
it's a great idea when families can do something together. You know,
oh, yeah,
project.
Fun.
I just
mm-hmm.
think it's terrific. But you think of so many of these organizations for kids, the Scouts. The Girl Scouts, Boys and Girls Clubs, and so many more organizations that when kids get together, adults get together, and they don't put parameters about this is right, this is wrong. They just say, hey, let's do this. We've got this project. Come up with your ideas. It's amazing
mm-hmm.
what happens. and then it can be a lot of fun. I like
yeah.
the quote by Michael Samuels, who is a physician, and Mary
mm-hmm.
Rockwood Lane. They say, art frees your spirit so your mind and body are in harmony. Art frees your immune system to work at its optimum and help you heal. Art helps you conquer disease by freeing your inner healer to work at its optimum. And I also like your statement that the brain can be educated and re-educated. And I am so grateful for the research that's coming out. Instead of expecting as soon as one turns 65 or 70 or 75, they're brain dead. Now we're realizing that if they're active, it's far from that.
And right.
Go ahead.
That's amazing. Did you see the story in that chapter about the physical benefits? I always think this is the most amazing story. There was this woman who had cancer, I guess, in her elbow, and she had to have her elbow removed. And she figured out, she was a knitter, she figured out a way to prop up her elbow. Her elbow was gone, but to prop up her arm on pillows so that she could knit every day after the surgery. And it was painful, but she did it. And then she went to see her doctor, and he was amazed that she was able to still use that arm as well as she could, and it was because of the knitting. So there really is, as Dr. Samuel says, there really is something to the fact that there are physical benefits as well as mental and spiritual.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely true. And I like another quote you have in your book by Albert Einstein, the intellect has little to do on the road to discovery. There comes a leap in consciousness, call it intuition or what you will, and the solution comes to you, and you don't know how or why. And
right.
I think all of that is so appropriate.
Yeah, how many times have we been in the shower and we've come up with something or woken from a dream? Or, yeah, it's definitely somewhere deep down in there. And if you let it come up, your creativity and you trust in it, and we're all creative. This is not about talent. Talent is really the combination of repetition and study. There are some people who are very unique, you know, for example, Pablo Picasso, but he also did a ton of paintings. So a lot of this is learning technique and just letting yourself explore. Julia Cameron, who is like the creativity guru, she wrote a book called The Artist's Way. She says, just leap and the net will appear. So we have to be bold and go for this and just try and enjoy ourselves.
And I like, too, what you say in your book, and that is, and you mentioned this earlier when we started the chat, that you always have tried to compare yourself with other people, and finally you've realized
yeah.
you've been giving other people too much power over you by putting your self-esteem in their hands. Boy, that's a big lesson to learn. That's
yeah.
huge.
Yeah.
That
I keep having to learn that over and over again. But, you know, that's the way of a lot of these things. And there is that quote from Mary Tyler Moore, too, what other people think of me is none of my business. I
mm-hmm.
think that's great, don't you?
Oh, I think that's a wonderful
yeah.
quote. Now,
so we've done it. So tell me what kind of crafts you like to do.
Well, I am more into writing than I am
oh, yeah?
into crafts. I've done crafts,
mm-hmm.
I've done crocheting
yeah.
and different things in the past. But I really love the writing. That's what I love to do. And I think that creative aspects with cooking are something
yeah.
that I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy, and entertaining,
right.
that type of thing. So those are my moments.
Those are your crafts. I categorize
right.
those as crafts, too, you know. And I think crafts sometimes get a bad rap. But now it's interesting how crafts have become very kind of cool. You see a lot of celebrities like Julia Roberts knits and Brad Pitt paints and Jennifer Aniston paints. You have all these people who really have embraced crafts and enjoy it. And so it's cool now. It's not just perceived as kind of kitschy or, I don't know.
Or
it used to have kind of
habit that doesn't
yeah.
have anything else to do.
Yeah, exactly.
No, no, no. It's not
yeah.
that. Crafts have been
yeah.
around and they'll always be around.
Your right.
book is delightful, Crafts to Heal. NancyMonson.com, I believe, is your website. And that's
it is.
MONSON, NancyMonson.com. And I'm so delighted you were able to be with me, Nancy. This is summertime. It's a great time to start something that you can even continue during the winter months. When it's
right.
dark, sometimes and oppressive, unless you're living in Florida or Hawaii. But so many of us live in northern climates, and the dark can get to you. So if you have something like crafts to do, it keeps you bright and sassy, but during the summer, it's a wonderful thing to do as well. It's an all-year-round opportunity. Nancy Monson, thank you so very much for being my guest today. Go to her website, nancymonson.com. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. And telephone lines are now open, and if you'd like to call in and chat with me, I would be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Tomorrow, we're going to be talking with Jack Gilbert. We're going to be discussing Gilbert's Fables, which is his first book on fables for kids. However, we're also going to be talking about his business book. So we're going to have a little bit of an odd combination here. Jack works at the University of Arizona, so he is going to be sharing with us some different perspectives. A very talented man, obviously. Then we're going to be discussing with Teresa Musso on Thursday, rebounding. How do you come back when you have been knocked down? How do you rebound so that you are going to be standing on both feet the way you want to? Well, we're going to find out how you can do that. And in setting the captive free, Dr. Smington is going to be my guest, and I'm looking forward to all of these people. I hope you'll be able to join us right here on BBS Radio. Well, there is so much going on, and I do want to remind those of you that are living in the Pacific Northwest, a week from today, we are going to be doing a class at the Lakewood, Washington facility, the Progressive Spiritual Center. And at 6:30, a class is going to start on mental ecology. There's a small fee of $10 for the class. It's going to be very relaxing, very informative, and interactive. Yes, those that come out to the program, we're going to be showing how you have psychic abilities. Aha! You don't believe it? You've got them. So that's going to be a week from today. I said tomorrow, I think. Today, it's a week from today, so July the 26th. And then on the 30th, a very special event is going to be happening. It's put on by the Ascension Foundation. It's being held at the Best Western Plus River's Edge in Tukwila, and it is at the South Center location. There's two aspects to this event. The first aspect is in the morning from 10 a.m. until 4:30. And it's open to the public. Anybody can come in, and there's going to be healers there. There's going to be all kinds of individuals, including myself, and I'll be there doing many consultations for people, and I'll have a plethora of books. And then we're going to close down at 4:30, and at 6 o'clock. The doors will be open again, and this is for a very special evening of mind, and it is going to be demonstration, and it's going to involve how billets are done. Michael Shane is going to be doing that. He's going to be doing arbitration. I will be doing some demonstrations. I'm one of the VIP speakers. So we've got a lot going on that evening, and I'm looking forward to it. And if you want more information, go to theascensionfoundation.com, ascensionfoundation.com, phone number 206-356-6356, and you can get all of the details. It's really going to be quite an evening, so I hope you can join us for those of you in the Pacific Northwest. Now, one of the issues that keeps coming up over and over again is security. This especially when you are having your debit card information stolen. I have had conversations with people where this has happened to them, and it just absolutely makes them very, very unhappy. So if your debit card information is being stolen by skimmers, now what are skimmers? Skimmers are tiny devices. They read your card's magnetic strip and PIN number. And this is just amazing technology. They are hidden in stores and ATMs all around the country, and the thieves are able to get access to your bank account. You don't have a clue that this is even being done. And there was a bank locally in our area where they found a skimming device, and somebody was sitting in a vehicle not too far away. They were able to catch him. And they were recording all of this information that was going into a bank machine. So, to protect yourself, here are a few tips. Thieves typically steal your pins one of two ways, either with a tiny camera hidden nearby or with a device underneath the keypad that captures the numbers as you punch them. So, if anybody might have set up a camera, sometimes they're in place long while before they're ever detected. Use your free hand to shield the keypad as you type in your code. To avoid the number capturing device, pay attention to the buttons. If they're difficult to push, the ATM may have been tampered with, so go to a different machine. Now, there's a few other things you can look for, and it's sad that we have to pay attention to these little items, but remember, if you're using your debit card, you don't want anybody else to have access to it. There are signs a skimming device may be attached, and it includes glue around the edges of a keyboard, extra mirrors, and what they do with those extra mirrors, they hide the cameras, or protruding wires. Also, be on the lookout for an out-of-order sign on nearby ATMs. What has happened is that people that are thieving will put those signs up on ATMs that are actually working. So the ATM they've tampered with, you'll go to that one and use it, and they get your information. Also, and this is very important, if you need to use your debit card when paying, opt to have the purchase processed like a credit card transaction. And you won't have to type in your PIN number. And what's more, if the card information ends up being stolen, you won't have to wait weeks to get your money back the way you do if a thief accesses your bank accounts. And also, be sure you find out what protection you have at your bank. Some of them will not give you protection. So you need to be aware of this. This is very, very important. So I just thought I would share that information with you. By the way, if you want to give me a call, 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into, 888-815-9756. Again, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then let me tell you what I see for you, and then you can ask me a question about anything you like. There is a wonderful woman. Her name is Gemma Crocker, and Gemma has this phenomenal attitude about life. She says she goes out of her way to deliberately be happy. How many of us would think of that? Many times our minds take us on road trips that we really don't want to be on, and we go through all kinds of emotional ups and downs because our mental programming and reaction of mental processes are just giving us a loop-de-loop special. Well, she has some wonderful tips. She said, why is it that we don't focus on happiness? Why is it that we focus on what's not working most of the time instead of, well, sort of being grateful, but actually being happy? And she said she does what she calls her happiness lists. And she said she does them twice a year. She said once before her birthday and once before Christmas. And she said, I'll just sit down and write what makes me happy. And she'll put down whatever she wants to put down. And then she thinks of maybe some things or places or whatever that she feels would make her happy too, that maybe she'd like to bring into her life. But she said the reason she's developed this patterning of doing happy lists is that she said it helps her focus on what's going to make her happier than she might be at the present moment. And she said, lots of times, I'm really happy. I don't need to go after something. Remember, it's not things. It's what you're feeling. It's your mental perception. All of this is so very important. And she said she enjoys making sure that she has something around or that she reads something that makes her laugh. She said laughter is so important. And she said once you start laughing, your mood shifts. And sometimes if she's having a lousy day, she fakes it. She'll force herself to laugh, and then all of a sudden she makes fun of herself. Maybe she stands in front of the mirror making faces. I don't know. It works for kids. It works for adults, too. It lightens up the situation. Of course, she says being grateful. And she said, you know what? If I ever find myself in a situation where I think I'm going to be miserable about something that's within my control, I just remember my awful times at a particular corporate environment for 2 seconds, and she said, not going to go there, not going to do it. She said, she has a number of other suggestions, but she said there's no special magic formula for this. She chooses to be happy every day. And she said, I make my own terms and choose the direction that I want to take to be happy. May not work for other people, but it works for her. And I really like the idea of the happiness list. What do you think? What would you write down? What would you feel or think would make you happy? Well, why not just sit down and write it out? Donna Sebo here, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Oh, I got a call the other day from someone, and they said, Donna, I tried calling your 800 number, and it was told it was disconnected. Yes, it is. So if any of you try to reach me or you want to call me, let's say for a private appointment, or you want to give me information, that's perfectly all right. I want you to be aware of the fact that that phone number, that 800 number, has been discontinued. Hardly anybody's using it anymore. You know, our technology has changed so much that it just isn't worth my continuing it. And I've had it for a lot of years, but I've let it go. Somebody else is going to end up with it. But right now, it's 253-582-5604. Of course, you can always get in touch with me via email, too. Oh, by the way, if you have some special stories or anything you would like to share with me, what about your favorite summer recipes? Well, why don't you send them along? You can send them along to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. By the way, if you're in Western Washington and you would like to attend an absolutely awesome event in August, I have 5 passes left. That's all I've got left. 5 free family passes for the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair. This is their 14th year. I've been with them, I think, for 12. It is an awesome, awesome event. You can go into my website, check out my newsletter. You'll see all of that. But also go to their website, the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair. You'll find all of the information there. But if you want a free pass, either give me a call at my office, 253-582-5604, or better yet, send me an email, and I need your contact information so I can mail that ticket to you. It's for 2 adults and 2 children. Wonderful, wonderful gift that we are able to give you. So get in touch with me so that I can get that pass out to you. Donna Sebo here. I know we're going to be taking a break. When we come back, swapping to save money. Yes, we can do that. And I've got a great recipe for you, and also a few decorating tips and I know my favorite story is about JoJo, a wonderful, wonderful dog. So I'm going to be sharing all of that with you when we come back. Donna Sebo, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756. Pit bulls. Well, there is a reputation about them that often is not justified. I've been around pit bulls, and they are wonderful, wonderful dogs. And this is a story about a dog named JoJo. And I've got a picture of her in front of me, and she is just beautiful. She's about a year and a half now. However, her life didn't start off with very good momentum. In fact, JoJo was laying in the middle of a street. She had been hit by a car, and she was not doing very well. Out on a desert road, nonetheless, and you know how hot that can get, a car stops, she was put on a car seat, and she was taken to a veterinarian by the name of Jim. Now, she was in very, very bad shape. She was just a puppy at the time, about 3 months old, and the vet was amazed that she had survived being out in the middle of the street after being hit by a vehicle. There were no tags on her. Nobody knew who she belonged to. There was no one that wanted her. She was just this little three-month-old puppy that was out in the middle of a road. Now, she had a wonderful attitude. Even though she was very, very dehydrated, in very, very bad shape, she shouldn't have survived by all of the odds, she just responded to the care she was being given, and the vet decided that he was going to donate his time to save this dog's life, and he did. So there was an organization called Heart Rescue, and they knew about the reputation of pit bulls, and they said, well, this is really going to be a tough dog to adopt out. And at the time, they decided, because she was getting well, she was just adorable, that they were going to fix her all up. And it was around Easter time, and they used the Easter holiday as a theme, and they put a necklace of plastic Easter eggs around her neck and put a little bunny by her side and took her photo. And they just hoped the people were going to respond to this adorable, adorable puppy pit bull. And by golly, there was a woman by the name of Anne Marie, and she heard JoJo's story, saw her up on the internet, and just said, oh, this is a wonderful dog. She apparently has fostered dogs for a number of years, and she wanted to see if she could perhaps be a foster parent to this adorable puppy. And she called him and said, I'll take care of JoJo. I'll be able to do this until someone adopts her. Well, she was just absolutely right at Anne Marie's hip. She just got into involvement with everything that Anne Marie did. And what was so neat about the whole thing, JoJo was accepted as a member of staff at the facility where Anne Marie was working. And she said JoJo just came to life. It was absolutely wonderful. Now, Anne Marie was involved in working with physical therapy with patients, and JoJo was so supportive of the patient. She made sure that they knew that she was watching them, and they just suffered. So many of these people, so many of these patients really had a lot of pain when they were going through therapy. But with JoJo there, it was as if they didn't focus on the pain. They focused on the delight of having her around. And the patient's response to JoJo's presence was overwhelmingly positive. And JoJo, often if she knew they were in pain, she'd give them little nudges with her nose to let them know that this was something that they could do for themselves, that this was okay. She knew they were in pain. So there's just all this wonderful empathy going on between this pit bull JoJo and the patients that Anne Marie was dealing with. Well, she called up the shelter, Heart Rescue, finding out that nobody wanted JoJo. She said, don't worry about it. I'm going to adopt her. And by golly, this was the best thing that ever happened to JoJo. But there was another step that was taken. The rescue director of the organization, Heart Rescue, said, I am going to enter JoJo in Purina's Rally to Rescue contest for outstanding service work. Now, there were 100 stories, rescue stories, that had been submitted to Purina, and pet lovers across the country were asked to decide which pet had the most touching story. 44,000 votes plus were submitted. JoJo won. That's right, the pit bull won. And what evolved out of that is JoJo started doing special appearances. She appeared at malls and parades. But the biggest accomplishment by JoJo was done at an Alzheimer's facility. Patients would not remember much of anything, but they always remembered JoJo. There was one woman, she was slumped in a wheelchair, didn't respond to anything, anybody. JoJo came over to her, nuzzled her. She sat upright and talked to JoJo. This was a woman that was unresponsive to anything and everything else. Now, JoJo today is 1.5 years old. She is an official therapy dog, and she's been inducted into the Animal Hall of Fame. If you want to check out JoJo, her website, yes, she's got her own website, pitbullbridge.com, pitbullbridge.com. And Anne Marie says she's like an education tool on legs for humane animal treatment, animal rescue, and therapy pets. She is an amazing dog all the way around. I am a real softy when it comes to dogs. I just think the story about JoJo is so very, very special. And it makes us aware, too, that lots of times labels are put on animals. And I can remember that was done with boxers when I was a kid. And it all evolved because there was a child that happened to be attacked by a boxer. Boxers are wonderful dogs. But lots of times kids, when they're around animals, and if the animals are left unattended, if the kid hurts them, that happened at one of our family functions. There was a Pyrenees that belonged to a member of our family. Beautiful dogs, big dogs. Well, the one Pyrenees was elderly and had severe arthritis. And a child that was unsupervised went over and sat on the dog. That was pain and suffering for that animal. Turned around and snapped at the child. Well, of course, it startled the child. She started crying. But there were others that had seen what had happened, and they said, look, the little girl should never have sat on this dog. He's a big dog, but she shouldn't have because he's elderly and he has arthritis. So the animal responded in the only way that he knew it could possibly respond. Life is amazing, and lots of times we just don't take the time to understand animals, and we put labels on them that don't necessarily fit. And there are many people that have pit bulls that just know how loving and wonderful that they are. And I'm not talking about the ones that have been trained to be killers, because any dog can be trained to do that, believe it or not. This is Donna Sebo. It's been so delightful sharing this time with you. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. God bless. Have a fabulous day. We'll be back with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.